But we have Psalm 119 to sing together for the Sabbath. We are working through Psalm 119, and we are starting with the new moon of this year. So every week we'll have a new letter added to it until we complete it, which will take us some time. Psalm 119. This is to the tune of New Britain, which is Amazing Grace. So we should be very familiar with this tune.
Be thy servant in thy grace, deal bountifully, Lord, that by thy favor I may live, and
Jebusite, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee,
a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leaven be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that Yahweh's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath Yahweh brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee, and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yahweh all that open the matrix. Every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be Yahweh's. Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, thou shalt break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among the children, thy children, thou shalt redeem. It shall be when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, Yahweh brought us up out of Egypt from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that Yahweh slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sanctified Yahweh all that opened the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeemed. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand Yahweh brought us forth out of Egypt. And so that is the nature of our holy convocation today. And so we're also in the life of Jesus in John chapter 19, which is the template we've been using. Of course, today is the Sabbath day that Christ was in the tomb, the Sabbath after Passover. And that is one of those interesting parts of history where it's been disputed, but even to this day, the Roman Catholic Church does not dispute the fact that it was the Sabbath of Passover that was the day of Christ's rest in the grave. So we are in 19. And we are at 38. Would Christian or Edward, would anybody want to read in place of that? Stand and read?
Yeah, I can read this. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There lay they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.
So that's actually tomorrow, the first day of the week, is the Resurrection Day. Would give us some context as to where things are going in the life of Jesus. So that'd be fun. Anyhow, and the
the life of Jesus, the correspondence of what's being talked about, is kind of what we focus on today. And I'm just saying this so everybody kind of understands the biblical reality behind it for learning purposes. So you basically have Yahweh, who delivers Egypt out of Egyptian bondage. At this time, they are ready to pass through the sea. They're being encompassed by the Egyptians. Yahweh tonight will part the sea. The people will go through on dry land and arrive at the other side by morning. In the life of Jesus, he's in the tomb, surrounded by death. And tomorrow morning, he resurrects from the dead. And so you have these parallel happenings that God perfectly connected together, and that's why I think it's important to remember, you know, the meanings of unleavened bread, the meaning of bitter bondage, and connecting to a New Testament concept that's given us, you know, in understanding. So that's pretty much what I wanted to cover this morning, just so that we could be refreshed in the life of Jesus and where we're at, and we can have that. But I know we all have a little bit of a throat thing going on, I think. We have a responsive reading we did yesterday. I'd like to do it again with everybody. I was do it up until Resurrection Day, actually. I was thinking it would be a... No, it's actually in our Passover time convocation. If somebody took one.
Sure, there you go.
And so, I mean, I don't know if you ever talked to anybody about Christ and his life and what a true believer believed before Jesus ever came. You're talking about Isaiah, who's spoken about 700 BC, 700 years before Jesus. And these are the go-to verses every apostle goes to preach the gospel to anyone. The Ethiopian eunuch got it. You know, all throughout the writings of Paul, he uses this little snippets, and Peter. This is like the go-to prophecy for Christ. And so if you ever talk to somebody where you need a pre-New Testament verse that says salvation is by faith, you go here, because it starts with who has believed or who has faith in our report. And so that's why this is important to do. So I'll read the bold, and then we'll have everybody else read the italics. And I also like to read the italics with everybody. So, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed?
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when he shall see him, there is no beauty that he should desire him.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief.
And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our iniquities.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way,
and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb,
so he opened not his mouth.
He was taken from prison and from judgment.
And who shall declare his generation?
For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death.
Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief.
When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied.
By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death.
And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
And so that is probably the most powerful, in my opinion, that's the most powerful thing we read, or at least for my soul. It's the most powerful thing I read, thinking 700 years before Christ, 730 years, or 3 years possibly, if we're timelines right, before Christ's resurrection. There's that much information about how Christ was going to live his life, and the person he was going to be, and what he was going to do, and how even the prophet here claims faith, belief in the report. That's how the arm of Yahweh is revealed to us, is through faith in Christ that is to come. So you could probably spend a lifetime excavating truth out of this small 12 verses of scripture about the life of Christ. One thing I noticed this week while I was putting this together to be printed is, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I never really thought about it, but if someone were to ask you what attribute of Christ justified people, and most people would say, well, we're justified by his blood, because that's what we're told in the scriptures, also in other places, right? But in this prophecy here, it says, by his knowledge, by Christ's knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. Now, unless you really know the doctrines of, you know, you pay attention to the doctrine of the covenant. Actually, it was Christian's question last night at the Passover table about the covenant. How could Christ's knowledge justify anybody unless the knowledge that he had was knowledge of his own oath and promise that had come prior to something? You know, I mean, you can't flesh it out necessarily by the text. But if you pay attention to the way in which Christ is dealt with in this text, the way in which the prophet speaks is very bizarre. It's a very strange speech pattern. He speaks in a past tense, he speaks in a future tense, and he speaks in present tense, all in one prophecy. He doesn't stick to a future event. He says, he shall, future tense, grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root of a dry ground. He hath, present tense, no form nor comeliness. When we shall, future tense, see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Three tenses, one sentence. Past, present, future. The prophet knew what he was talking about. And so when you talk about, well, what knowledge could Christ have possibly had that he would die and justify it? How can you reconcile the apostles' statements about how we are justified and the prophet's statements? Well, they're one common thing. It was by Christ's oath, by his covenant that he gave since the foundation of the world, that he came to justify many by his blood. And I just detected that. I just read that and went, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify. And I thought, I've never even considered that knowledge is actually dealing with the mind of God, the Godhead, the knowledge of the Godhead that all of the other scriptures deal with, Ephesians and Romans and all those places. And so that's a good lead-in to another pamphlet you should have. And I'm sorry we don't have a solo-one book. It's just where we're at right now, getting things done, and I don't have so much time to do them, so we're just going to waste a lot of paper. And so Romans chapter 5 and 6 and 7, we're not going to do it all today, but is some of that knowledge. And there's some of that knowledge of the covenant found in there, and we would have covered what we've been covering is Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4. We've done that this year already. And so now we are at Romans chapter 5. And if you pay attention to what is said in 5 and 6, you would see that that very much corresponds to both the time of the year and the essence of Isaiah chapter 53. So if we're all at Romans 5, Life by One is what we titled it. We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
by whom we have now received the atonement.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men.
For all have sinned.
For until the law, sin was in the world.
But sin is not imputed where there is no law.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses,
even over the man that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
The free gift is not as the offense is, for if through the offense of that one many be dead,
much more is the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many.
So is the gift, not as it was by one that sinned, for the judgment was by one to condemnation,
but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one,
much more they which receive abundance of grace and are of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
What shall we say then?
We continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein?
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death,
that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father,
even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death,
we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him,
that the body of sin might be destroyed,
that henceforth we should not serve sin,
for he that is dead is freed from sin.
Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more.
Death hath no more dominion over him.
For in that he died unto sin once.
But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God.
Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, there's a lot you can continue to excavate out of this statement, but I hope that's the thing that we think about during Passover time, is exactly what Romans 5 and 6 expresses.